Well, guys, it's been a huge 2 weeks of the Indigenous Round. I can't wait to talk about it. But, Bo, before we start, you got a shout-out there for someone very important.
Yes, I got a shout-out for my son, Kobe, my firstborn. He just won the state champs for Met East. Him and his deadly little team, they were down to a 3-on-3, 1 minute to go, and he scored the winning try. So I'm pretty happy for him and his deadly Met East team. But probably the icing on the cake was he made Queensland. And, very proud mum and dad we are at the moment. But, congratulations. Congratulations to Met East and the boys there. I'm really proud of them.
Good luck at the national championship. Mm-hmm. You'll have to keep us posted on that one and let us know how he goes. Nice. If he moves like his mother, he's going to be carving them up everywhere.
There you go.
So you got a shout out as well.
Triple cutouts, yes. Dino, the CEO, Scott Monaghan, and the youth manager, Tara Woods of Bulgarneroo in Grafton, doing some really great initiatives. And I just want to give a shout out to Akmino, the Grafton Boys Home. We were up there the other week and we talk about health and resilience and just connecting with the community. So, big shout out to them. They're doing some really good work out there.
Yeah, and another shout out from me. I suppose this goes out to all of our communities. There's been a lot of sad stuff for a lot of our communities. I know for all of us here, we want to send love out there to all our mob out there that are going through tough times. And if you just stick together and keep talking to people, get out on country and heal a bit, there'll be better days ahead. So I want to give that out to all the people that are out there that are going through a bit of a struggle at this time. And it has been tough, but we will get through it all together there. So we're looking out for everyone. Now, round 24, Indigenous round in the NRL, the second week of it, I thought really exciting. Now, Indigenous players really stood up and some great performances there. The Storm with that 22-18 win, they come from nowhere against the Panthers there. And they've got a couple of players missing and it's scary what the Storm are building up to, as well as Penrith, because I thought they were quality. The Roosters, big winners in their game there over the Bulldogs, outstanding. The Eels and Rabbitohs fought it out, and we'll talk about that one there later. But, Bo, what was your highlight for the Indigenous round? Definitely would have had to be the Battle of Brisbane up there. Where there's plenty of highlights, especially from some of our Indigenous players.
Dino, look, they all shined. You know, they were amazing up there in Brisbane on the weekend. But I think the biggest highlight, and because I've had a bit of a, I guess, really good relationship with Trey Fuller through the Redcliffe Dolphins, and when Jesse was coaching, you know, it was good to see him back on the field, you know, coming back from that ACL injury. And ACLs are really hard to come back from, and especially to perform in your first game back in the NRL. He has been coming through the lower grades, but to perform the way he did on the weekend, you know, 257 running metres, you know, a try. We saw him dummy the one and only hammer, so which you don't often do, but, you know, he was really impressive on the weekend. And I've got to give a shout-out to all the boys, like I said, Katoni with his two tries, you know, Gemmett, Reece Walsh, they were just phenomenal, Joshy Kerr. It was a great game. Battle of Brisbane is what that game should be. And, big shout-out to Trey. I think he did really well.
Yeah, he was outstanding. And to get a try where you're dummy, and he just continues to produce those moments when he plays. Now, the South Sydney game, I went to that. Oh, I tell you what, atmosphere electric out there at Allianz Stadium. Mm. And the Rabbitohs faithful, they believe that they belong there. And I'll tell you what, they certainly brought the noise and the crowd out there. Mm. But very special performances by some Indigenous players there. I thought Talas Duncan, he continues to rise in his game too. And he showed some great moments there as a centre. But next year, I'm looking for big things from him as a back rower as he develops.
Yeah, he's a really good player. He's got some speed. And, you know, I want to applaud the South players because, like, Wayne, like, he's been there for ages, like, in the game. You know, he's a legend. And, you know, for him not to get the wooden spoons, the last thing you want to see Wayne win is a wooden spoon. But I want to give a shout out to Cody Walker and how much of an impact that he brings to the South Sydney team. You know, his experience. And I think, you know, with Latrell coming back as well soon, I think he gives Latrell a lot of space and a lot of timing. And I just think that players like Talas Duncan, you know, Latrell, and when Jackie Boy comes back as well, I feel like Cody's going to be the right person for the team to take pressure off those types of players so they can play their game and, you know, be the strike weapons like they are. Mm.
Everyone talks about how depleted South are. It was a gutsy win. They didn't have all their players then. I thought Cody led them really well. And Talas, that little combination developing well for next year, Cody Walker and Talas Duncan there on the edge. Mm. Now, the Cowboys, and a player that really stood out for me, and it's been a great move for him going to the Cowboys, young Braden Burns. hands up there, getting some really special touches, some great moments in this game. But he's been good for a long time now, Bo, up there at the Cowboys, and seems to have found a home up there in Townsville.
Yeah, he definitely has. You know, scoring that try, I think, really boosted his confidence. I think a lot of people thought he was sort of going up there and this might have been his last couple of seasons in the NRL, but he's definitely stood up at the times that he needed to. That runaway try, you know, we always say you don't throw long balls around blackfellas because they're there for that intercept. So, you know, I'm really proud of Braden that he's actually kept at it and he's been resilient and just wanting to keep playing. And, you know, they come up with the win, you know. Tommy Dearden, once again, just phenomenal. Ruben Cotter led from the front. Yeah, and I don't know what's happening with Newcastle, brother, you know, your old team. But, you know, I definitely think the Cowboys should have won that game and they won it with class as well.
Yeah, well, it certainly plays a big part in their movement up the ladder. And if we look at the ladder there, you can see there's a lot of games now that have a real bearing on this. The Warriors on the weekend with their win, jump into fourth, Penrith slide back down. The Roosters now look like they're pushing into that eight. They're going to be hard to take out there. The Dolphins obviously lost that opportunity on the weekend there. Is that the eight there, T? What do you make of this ladder as you look at it there, particularly around that top eight?
Yeah, like there are some teams that are really playing some really good football, like the Raiders, the Storm and the Panthers, but there's teams that I feel like that are backsliding and there's teams that just can't get into that next gear. And, you know, probably the biggest one I want to highlight is the Bulldogs. And I feel like that Gus Gould has put a negative spotlight on the Bulldogs. I feel like that, you know, buying Galvin mid-year, it feels like it went from... It was always the Bulldogs. Mm. It was Serraldo and the Bulldogs and OU unit. Until the signing of Galvin, it just seems that whenever there's a good criticism or a bad criticism, it's always about Galvin and not about the Bulldogs. And the thing is about it is that they're saying the players don't read in the things. The players have got social media. Mm-hmm. The papers, they're reading it every day. It's always in their algorithms when they open up Instagram or TikTok. So the players are reading into it. And the big thing about this game is that it's very psychological when it comes to the game. Everyone's physical. Everyone's got the sports science. Everyone's the same. Everyone's the same height, got the same fitness, playing the same type of moves. But when it comes to the game, it's the mental side of it. And I feel like the players have read into this a lot. And this is where I think that the Bulldogs haven't hit that. They can't get to that next gear. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks they can, but they've got some really big games ahead of them. Like at the back end of the year, they've got the Storm, they've got the Panthers and the Sharks. Yeah. So that's going to be testing times to say, well, can they get to that next gear? If not, then, you know, maybe this is not the year for the Bulldogs.
Well, three games like that are going to tell, right? They're going to, if they win those games, they go in full of confidence. The momentum might go out of them if they lose a couple of those games. And Storm, Panthers, Sharks, that's a scary way to end it. Mm-hmm. The Warriors, also a team on a bit of the backslide. What do you make of the Warriors as they head towards the finals? Are they good enough to win this year's competition or be there in the grand final?
Look, I think with the Warriors, that they've had a really good year. That's what I like to... I like to say about the Warriors, you know, the Dragons should have won that game on the weekend. They play really good. This is where I'm seeing the Warriors is where I feel like they've got to a point where they're really good, but when it comes to the finals, are they going to be grand final contenders? I think that's another team that can't get to that next gear where they can just hit it like a Panthers or a Raiders or like a Storm. I feel like that this is a really good year for them to tick the box and go, you know what, we can work off this.
There's definitely a competition that you're going to need someone to go to the next level of what they're performing right now. It's going to be interesting to see. Love it about rugby league, 3 weeks to go and it's all still up in the air. Now, one thing that's not up in the air is Payne Haas and his decision to go to Samoa and play his international football there. Big call, one of the best front rower, probably the best front rower in the game, goes to a Samoan team that's already packed with talent. What do you make of this decision by Payne?
Look, to me, I feel like Payne choosing Samoa is him choosing his heritage, which is really good. I feel like the game has changed a lot compared to when I was playing. But if we go back to the governing bodies, you know, people can't look at the NRL and go, you know, this is the NRL's fault. The NRL don't own the tier system of the international football. It's the International Rugby League that run the tier systems. And it goes off a financial background. If the tier systems, like the tier one system countries, which is England, New Zealand and Australia, financially, they are doing a lot better than the rest of the countries, which causes them to, you know, be a tier one than a tier two. So
you've got to have your governance, your pathways, all those sort of things in place. And obviously Samoa and Tonga, they haven't got domestic competitions.
That's right.
As countries, so they'll remain as tier two countries, which enables Payne to play State of Origin, but also go back and play for Samoa. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that we should have the best product at every level. The best State of Origin product, where these boys are obviously passionate about growing up in Western Sydney or mm-hmm. growing up wherever they grow up and representing their states in New South Wales mm-hmm. and Queensland, but also to go back and play for the countries where their families are from, where their origins are from. My big thing around the move is it brings the Australian jersey into question about, do they see their culture in the Australian jersey? Mm. Australian jerseys have always represented to me the best, the elite of the elite, the best player in your position. It's not really been a cultural space, you know. Yeah. They don't do a lot of cultural activities. They don't do a lot of our Indigenous culture there. Mm. And I definitely don't think they do a lot of Samoan and Tongan culture. And that's part of what the next movement of the jersey needs to be. If it's going to mean anything to these Samoan and Tongan Australians, but are born here and played all their football here of that heritage before they decide to go and play for their home nations. What's your thoughts on it, Bart?
Yeah, I think, you know, people are going to argue that, Dino, as well, you know what I mean? And I would never argue, because I totally agree with what you're saying. I think, you know, the Australian team needs to bring culture. And I'm not talking about culture as in, let's go out and, you know, go to the pub and whatever. I'm talking about their heritage and their culture. Because, like you said, there are a number of players within that Australian team that are of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture, Samoan, Tongan, Māori even, you know. And I think, you know, if they look at that and go, you know, and be able to, I guess, celebrate that culture within the Australian team, you'd find that these players might not defect to the other team because they're actually feeling that they're a part of the Australian people, but as a cultural person as well. So it is important. I definitely think we need to highlight, you know, individuals' cultures within the Australian team, but I know there's going to be a lot of backlash if that is the case.
Yeah, look, for me, in my experience, look, I feel like that Origin is the pinnacle still. It always was. And I think it still is at the moment because players, like Origin used to be the dress rehearsal for the Kangaroos. And as an 18-year-old, just an example, me and Willie Mason were up in Newcastle, Gary Freeman and Sam Stewart, who was the captains of the Knights and, you know, a Kiwi player, Gary Freeman, you know, a Kiwi legend. They come up to Newcastle and asked us at 18 to pledge allegiance to the Kiwi jumper. And, you know, it was really good at 18. Like, I've only played, like, 3 games. And the thing was is that, you know, you've been offered an international jumper at 18. Like, this was a big move for us. Yeah. But the thing was is that we both said, do we get to play Origin? And Gary Freeman said, no, you don't get to play Origin. Once you pick the jumper of the Kiwis, you're playing for the Kiwis. And that was the biggest thing for me and Willie when we backed out of it, was because we've seen that Origin was the pinnacle of rugby league. But for us, we couldn't go and play for the Kiwis either, because I wanted to represent my dad and my family for the Kiwis, but it couldn't happen. So, you know, it's hard when, probably when I see it, there's tier two teams that can play Origin and then also go play for their country, but I couldn't do that. So, you know, it's something that's evolving. It's something that, you know, it is up for debate.
Yeah, mum life's amazing, I think. It's been good. She's a good baby, so I think she makes it easier for me as well. So, yeah, 11 weeks went really fast, but it's exciting to obviously bring her into an environment like this, and yeah, even better to be at the Sharks with her. I was just blessed to obviously have a good birth as well with Amara and, you know, my partner as well. It's been massive, and, yeah, like I said, she's made it a lot easier for me too, so bringing her in here, she's normally asleep half the session anyways. 11 weeks ago, I probably wouldn't think it was possible, but to credit to, you know, the medical staff, they've helped me a lot as well, and I guess every female is different as well. There's not much research around our game with females returning contact sport after pregnancy. There's girls that have done it, but they've obviously had a lot more longer period of time arrest as well, and for me, I was pretty determined to make it back. To be able to put on, you know, an Indigenous jersey for the club is even special to me and my family, but also to the club. I guess coming to trainings as well, he obviously, you know, stays at home with baby, or if she's not with him, she's here. So I think the girls have also been a big support in that as well. They take her straight off my hands when I'm here, so they make my job a lot more easier coming to training, and it's been amazing.
one of our favourite players there, and she's a mum now. She's grown up, little CJ. How good was it to see her back on the field?
Yeah, she has grown up. I remember, you know, her and her first All-Stars team, I said she'll be the next captain of this team. And, you know, for her to get back, you know, 11 weeks postpartum and back out on the field is just, you know, it's so good to see. But it's just showing that, you know, women can do that. And I know myself, when I came back, I was a lot stronger in terms of the way my body felt and especially your mindset. But, yeah, the fact that the Sharks as well and her teammates are so supportive, like we saw on the vision, you know, them all grabbing baby while she's getting dressed and help. It just helps so much, Dino, when you've got that much support around you and you know, knowing that you can bring baby to training. And, yeah, I really am happy that she's back, and I'm happy. I'm even more happy that the support that she's got from the club and the girls around her. So congrats on her, you know, on her game back, and especially wearing that Indigenous jersey. I know she'll be very proud.
Yeah, great to see our other favourite mum there, Nakia Davis.
Yes.
With her, and Jada Taylor in there also getting a go there as well. Well done there, though, the Sharks and CJ. Mm. Now, round 7 of the NRL, and the results keep coming out of this. The Sharkies there back in the winning circle, 12-8. And that was an important win for them over the Titans there. The Broncos big winners, as we expected. The Raiders get their first win. Tigers get their first win as well of the season. So great to see those two teams get up there. The Roosters keep dominating there. And obviously the Cowboys, they keep improving week to week. I'm really impressed with them at the moment. As we go to the ladder there of the NRLW and we look through the ladder, there's a lot of movement there. You've still got the same teams at the top. The Roosters, Broncos, way out in front of everyone. Knights in there for third. I think we can definitely lock them in. The Cowboys keep lifting their bow. But this battle's going to be done all the way till the end of the season between the Sharks, Warriors, Eels. The Bulldogs also in there with a chance. The Titans, I think the few injuries are going to affect them, and the Dragons obviously down there. What do you make of the NRLW season and the ladder or the way it is? Is it a foregone conclusion?
Yeah, I feel it is. But at the end of the day, I don't want to sort of, you know, look too far ahead. I know with the Cowboys, we haven't seen them play, you know, the likes of the Broncos and the Roosters yet. So it'll be very interesting come a couple of weeks. I want to see what that looks like. I think the Broncos and Roosters, we know that they're going to stay in those top two positions at the moment. But yeah, it's going to be a good one. These next couple of weeks are really going to show who's going to, you know, who's going to want it enough, because I think it is the top six now coming into finals and who makes that top six. So I definitely see those two there. But for those next, I guess, other four positions, it's going to be a battle.
If you take the top two away from it and just go, that's a foregone conclusion. We all know. But it's an interesting battle, isn't it? Because the Sharks are on the improve. Caitlin Johnson's going to make a difference there.
Definitely.
They're going to keep improving. They've got the quality there. They were in the grand final last year. As they get more time together, they're going to develop. The Titans can still throw a spanner in the works if they're at their best, but they just haven't been this year.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with the Cowboys, what they continue to do. The Knights got Jesse Southwell up there playing outstanding, and some Yasmin Meeks continues to be a great leader in that side. So there is some interest, isn't there, around these other teams and what they can do.
100%. But I'm really interested about the Cowboys. I think that they're the Smokies for me. I definitely think they're going to find. They've got a really good combination there now with Tallulah. I'm not sure what's happening with Kira Dib, but definitely Tallulah coming in and injecting her amazing, you know, talent into that team. But, you know, you've got the leaders of Talisha Harden. You've got all these players around that, you know, I know they're just sort of cruising at the moment, but come finals time, I reckon we're going to see a different Cowboys team. I definitely do.
Yeah, as we preview round 8, now there's some games there. The Raiders after win last week up against the Bulldogs. Titans and Dragons could be a real close contest. The Knights up against the Broncos there. The Knights, they know how to win big games, and they won't shy away from that one there. Warriors up against the Sharks, West Tigers, Cowboys. But I really am looking forward to this Knights v Broncos game for a couple of reasons. A couple of Indigenous coaches up against each other there. Scotty Prince up there doing a great job with the Broncos. The way Scotty played football, you can see that come through in the way the Broncos play football. And the attack and weapons they got there, especially Tamika Upton and Gail Broughton there. Scotty Prince can really do a lot of work with Ali Brigginshaw as well. So I can see them doing some great things towards the end of the year if they keep playing the footy that Prince loves. But up against Ben Jeffries, he's doing a good job there in Newcastle.
Yeah.
Very successful coach, BJ. And I think the two coaches will look forward to a bit of this challenge there. And what's the different approaches? You've been around both these coaches. What's the different approach?
I think, you know, with Ben, he's got a very good good team around him. So I think, you know, I'm not saying anything about his coaching. I think he's a great coach. He's a really good motivator. He's, you know, good on the technical stuff. But I just think with Princey, he actually gets out. I don't know if that's a good thing.
Plays.
He runs the plays and he shows the girls exactly what lines they need to be running. You know, he was one of the best ball players we ever saw, you know, and he's just got this difference, I guess, to Ben having a lot of, you know, games under his belt and knowing what works. And so, you know, I know Princey, I know what he's going to do come this game. I know he's going to change it up a little bit because he's going to be, you know, the Newcastle are going to be expecting things. So I'll put that out that they'll be expecting things from the likes of Tamika, from the likes of Ali, et cetera, et cetera. So I know when Princey's, you know, I think I know what he's thinking right now.
Now, the challenge that we're looking forward to the most in this game, Jesse Southwell, great playmaker at Newcastle, up against Tamika Upton. T, you've watched Southwell closely. What do you make of her going into this game? What will she be looking to do?
Yeah, like you see the stats with Jesse as well. Like it shows that she's not a ball runner. She's a ball player. So, you know, every player is going to be around Jesse, and we've seen the trend on it, you know, this year is that everything sits around Jesse, and I think that's the way Ben is coaching the team. And the thing is that if you're defensively smart, you'll put a lot of pressure on her, because if you don't, and if you give her much time, she's got too many options. She can kick. She's got a good short passing game. She's got a good long passing game. She's got a lot of options. So the more she's got the ball in her hands, the more you give her time, the more she'll see spaces, and then she can either make a decision from there. So the thing about Jesse, she is a really good ball player. The action's around her. So if the Broncos are really want to, you know, dominate this game, they have to put pressure on her or she'll just carve them up.
Tell us about Tamika Upton.
Look, Tamika's the ultimate player, I think. She can change her game up in the matter of seconds. She's one of the best touch players, you know, and her decision making comes from that, from being one of the best touch players I've ever seen. So I think, you know, she is a runner. She is a ball player. She can score tries. Obviously, Jesse's kicking game will be a lot better and a lot stronger in terms of the 40-20s and stuff like that. But I think that, you know, with Tamika, Ben's going to be definitely, you know, watching her, having eyes on her. But the thing is, what they don't understand is that she can change this game up, her own game up, in a matter of seconds, and what she needs to do, you know, for the team. So, I definitely think Tamika's, she knows what she's got to do on the day, and it's going to be a really, really good competition.
My name's Floyd Tai. I play hooker or halves for the Northern Hawks. I'm a Gomeroi man from Moree, northwest New South Wales. That's where all my family's from, I guess, it's home. I don't get back there a lot, but, you know, it'll always be who I am. The most important thing about my culture, whenever I talk and whenever I speak, whatever I do, I'm always proud Gomeroi man or proud black fella, so that's me. My earliest memory of rugby league, I played maybe under eights for the Moree Boars. Both my parents, they looked after me. Not cheap to play sport when you're younger, and they always came up with a way. Yeah, I'll put everything down to them. I always loved footy. Footy's a part of our identity. Where I'm from, and fellas from Moree, or black fellas especially, that was what we loved. I definitely remember Brad.
I'm Gomeroi. Brad Moree, man.
Floyd's my first cousin.
Always looked up to him, and he was sort of who I wanted to be like. I came to the Hawks 2 years ago. Brad was obviously the coach, so that was a bit of a plus for me. I captained the boys last year, and it was a massive honour for me. In the team, I think I had six cousins I got to play with, which doesn't really happen in these type of comps.
He's our leader. The boys all respect him. He's our halfback.
It's a massive honour, so I've embraced the role.
He's super talented as well. He's had a bit of a stint in with the Knights playing reserve grade. Obviously got a background in touch as well, and he does a lot of dance, so I think that's empowering in itself.
This is my second year playing in the Touch Football All-Stars. Massive weekend. The week for me is just embracing culture. It's massive to get the run out and play for your culture. It's probably one of my favourite things to do. I've played a little bit of touch for like junior Australia teams, but I don't think I'd trade any jersey for the Indigenous one. First year I played knockout 2018 with Newcastle All Blacks. Was lucky enough to be part of that team, and we ended up winning it.
And he's kicked it, Scott Briggs!
My favourite memory from the knockout, got to play alongside a few of my cousins, the Briggs boys.
The emotion, the tears on his face.
It was massive for me. 2020, I think I played for the Yowies. So I've played for the Yowies for the past 3 years now.
Can he get it done himself?
The team that I'm playing for this year, for Moree.
I'm going to go back home today.
Big decision for me. Been a little while coming. Yeah, and see, if he says Moree, then we'll both play.
I might want to put the boots back on one more time and play in the knockout, so I need to keep some sort of K's under my belt.
inside scoop. We'll see what happens. Shout out to all my family and everyone in Moree.
Oh, Floyd Tye looking good there, and be interesting to see who he ends up with at the knockout there. Moree, big selection there, but knockout talk has already started. The yarns, I can't wait for the yarns. Now, moving on now to round 25 of the NRL, some big games as we keep going. Mm. Rabbitohs versus Dragons all starts with it. Now, you can't miss this Friday night. Panthers versus Raiders, Storm versus Bulldogs, four of the top teams in this competition. They're the ones you want to focus on as you go for it. This is going to be outstanding. So grab your popcorn, grab your beer, well, grab your pizza, whatever it is. Make sure you're tuning in and watching that. Now, a couple of the key matchups for us is in this game, Penrith up against the Raiders. Really looking forward to the challenge of the two halfbacks here. Nathan Cleary for Penrith being outstanding, and Bo, for you, Jamal Fogarty for the Raiders. Mm-hmm. This is a challenge that Jamal will be waiting for all year. He'll be ready for this one.
Yeah, 100%. I think he's ready to stamp his authority on, you know, why his team is at the top of the table, especially against the likes of Nathan Cleary. You know, this fella's been so poised in the way he plays footy. He's a pleasure to watch. You know, he just, like, he knows what's working and what's not, and he doesn't go away from it. You know, if it's working, why try and fix it? He's the kind of player that keeps the game plan on track, and he knows when to change it up when he needs to. So I definitely think, you know, he's going to be, you know, so important, especially with his kicking game. Come this game, it's going to have to be on point, because we know what Cleary can do, T, and yeah. But I think, you know, Jamal will definitely know when he needs to, I guess, inject himself into the game in a different way as well.
It's the challenge the Raiders have been looking for. They haven't played anyone right up there, but Cleary doing sensational. And he warms up this time of year. He's looking good, isn't he?
Yeah, Dino. What I love about these two teams is that they have the mentality of backs against the wall. Mm-hmm. Nobody loves them. Everyone hates them. And they love to keep it that way. And Nathan Cleary, what I like about, you know, him and the Penrith Panthers is they love grinding out games. They don't win by a lot and they don't lose by a lot. So the thing I like about Nathan is that he's calm, he's controlled. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he looks down the field a lot. And I think with the systems that the Panthers have got, it allows him to strategise on what is going to be the play down the track, and I think that's what separates him from everyone else.